listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome back. Happy Tuesday. Yes, we're in the building. Guys, I can tell you it's been such a great, warm, welcoming weekend, and we're back to sunny, warm skies on a Tuesday. That sounds kind of great. You know, we get to enjoy a little bit of the good life until it gets cold. Glad to see you guys are lining up and ready to come on in. I got a lot to talk to you about today. Well, you know where we left off with Vision Quest and Glenn Mills and, you know, all of the things that was happening at these, I don't know if we should call them homes for children. I wouldn't call it a home for children because these kids were being beaten, murdered. Very harsh thing to kind of digest as, you know, a parent. I know a lot of you parents are listening out there. I know there's a lot of other people listening too. You know, guys that have worked at Vision Quest, attendees at Vision Quest. So let's give a shout out to our Vision Quest survivors, you know, Glenn Mills survivors. There's a lot of people that have survived this ordeal at these locations at the hands of trusted adult individuals and others. You know, except this time, guys, I got, you know, name calling, like to point out some names, because I did a little bit of homework. And from what I do know from some of the victims at Vision Quest, and I like to say this, a joint lawsuit of the Vision Quest survivors is not such a bad idea after all. You know, these are kids that made it, you know, they got past the abuse and they managed to survive through it. And in Vision Quest, from what I've told, from what I've been told from some of the people that resided there as so-called out of control teens, is that when they wanted to call home, because the program was from 6 months to 12 months, that was like the thing. Just give us 6 to 12 months, Your Honor, and we're guaranteed to revamp this kid's whole life. Give him a new life and send him back. And by the time we send him back, or she or he back, they will be progressive young adults ready for the outside world. And they would know how to control their emotions at that point in time. Well, this wasn't the case at Vision Quest. The longer they kept these kids is the more money that was on the table for them. And this is why a lot of the kids went home 5 years later instead of the 6 to 12 month program that Vision Quest was supposed to be originally. It never said anything in their bylaws about keeping these children for 5 years. You know, it doesn't even say up to 5 years. It just is noted as a 6 to 12 month boot camp type of program for these children to whip them back into shape. And whip, that word goes a long way, because you can whip some butter, you know, you can whip someone into shape as far as working out, and then you can whip someone like you were a slave type of beating, you know? So there's a difference with that word. So we got to be careful how we use it, because these kids were a part of a huge celebration of abuse. You know, Glenn Mills, before their closing, they had the nerve in 2019, specifically June 15th, 2019, they had the nerve, the audacity to celebrate being open for 125 years. Can you imagine how many abused children were prior to that? You know, we're going back in the 40s when they started really noticing that these children in this facility was being abused. So you're going back to 1946. But if they were open as early as the 1800s, you know, according to some of the write-ups that I've seen, it kind of makes you wonder, you know, how could this go on for so long? Like, they were around since 1826. You know, Glenn Mills was around since 1826, you know, and it's kind of crazy because slavery ended in 1865. And then in 1946, you're noticing that this, you know, facility, Glenn Mills, is actually a slave farm. And, you know, sometimes people don't want to accept the fact of certain things that has gone on. And you know, when you talk about it and you hear about it, it's like, this doesn't sound too right in your membrane. But there's a gentleman that was in Vision Quest, because you'll go online and you'll Google Vision Quest and you'll Google teepees, and you know, it looks all pretty and nice, but the pictures that this young man sent me, and he gave me a little bit of insight on him having to put his teepee together. I mean, it sounds weird, right? You know, you hear about this stuff over the internet, you read a little bit of the history, you're like, no way, impossible. You know, who was setting the teepees up? Well, it was these children setting these teepees up. And these children had to do it, or there was strong repercussions if they didn't do it. So this young man, as a 13-year-old, is sending me pictures of him in the forest, setting up his teepee. And I was wondering, I wanted to say, like, were you in the woods of Pennsylvania? And I'm just, you know, because I've looked into this, guys, and someone send me a message if I'm incorrect. But usually when the state takes control of your children, right, kids are not well-behaved. The states, they come in and they say, okay, we're going to take control of this teen. But they never say, we're going to take control of your teen and send them away. Like, that is totally absurd. Well, where are you sending them to? Now, according to my investigation, and my investigation is confirmed, these children were on horse carriages, you know, the horse, the actual carriage behind it. They were actually taking these horse carriages and they were driving these horse carriages with their teepees as drivers, you know, to Florida. And where were they going? You know, I'm like, okay, who gave them permission to take you out of the state? Now it makes sense on why these kids were dying and no one knew why. So there's a place in Florida. It's the Backroads, guys. It's at the intersection of US 441 and State Road 60 between Vero Beach and Lake Wales. It is also the name of an exit on the Florida Turnpike. And that is called Yeehaw Junction. Now, Yeehaw Junction was a place where they would take these kids and basically torture their lives. And tell them, when they would ask about, you know, can I call home? Nope, your parent does not want to hear from you. So that was one of the issues. And it's very sad because, you know, when I don't like child abuse stories at all, but I'm bringing awareness to parents that may have an out of control teen that says, you know, I need to get some help with this kid, you know, and counseling is just not helping. So what am I to do? I am to send them away, make them a temporary award of the state so the state can raise them to a certain extent where they can control their behavioral issues. Do you know? It's crazy because this place in Florida, Yeehaw Junction, it's like an Indian reservation. Okay, so they got these kids staying on an Indian reservation. Okay, and it's an Indian word, which means wolf. You know, it's Yeehaw Junction, but it's Yaha. Really, that's how you pronounce it, which means wolf. You know, it's very sad when you got to look back and you got to say, the kids that lost their lives at this junction and out at sea who didn't know how to swim, with no swimming vest on, no nothing, didn't see death before their eyes. And it's very, very disturbing that the judicial system would let these inexperienced child abusers handle these children in that manner. There's so many children that have died in their custody, and justice has still not been served. Parents are unknown. There's no tombstones, there's no graves, there's nothing. The 18 children that died at sea in the custody of Vision Quest and Incorporators still have not been charged. This happened back in the 80s, okay? Under federal law, there are no statute of limitations when it comes to child abuse. One case to open up a can of worms for the founders of this Vision Quest organization. It only takes one to come forward. You know, it was one young man who felt as though this one counselor was actually walking him one night to his death. And I know that young man is on this line right now. And if you want to share the name of that counselor, you can text me and I can put it out there. Because it's victims such as yourself that had to endure this type of abuse, and now you are a survivor. People sometimes are ashamed, especially men, that were once little boys. Someone's little boy that has been touched in an improper manner by someone who knew that that was wrong. And just to set the record straight, there are names that's coming across, guys. It's names that's coming across right now. And these young men, now adults, they want the world to know that they are victims. Irving Solomon, who was a counselor at Vision Quest in the 80s, abused this young man, now a grown man. There's someone else, Greg Hitchcock, Paula Riggs. These victims want you to know that you have to live with yourself for the rest of your life for what you did to them. Another name, Dave Towns. Dave Towns was another abuser who was abusing little boys, and the survivor is now a grown man. Dave Towns from Vision Quest. They want me to put it out there to all you listeners, because guess what? They were approved to house 60 immigrants that cannot speak English properly. They were approved to house these kids because the English-speaking Americans can talk and tell. And if they did so, they would end up dying. Dave Towns was a counselor at Vision Quest. Dave Towns. And I'm emphasizing that because there's a victim that sent me a text message now that wants it to be known that if there's any discrepancy, Dave Towns, if you're out there and anybody knows you, this victim is ready for you. And he's ready to come forward. David Lapierre, another counselor. People that become adults have a lot to say because they're battling with these demons from childhood. They're battling with the scars and the trauma of what they had to endure that was allowed by the judicial system for them to endure. And if they complained, it only got worse. And guess what? One of the survivors that was out in the ocean back in the 80s, when all these mysteriously kids just died. By the way, they're saying the bodies weren't recovered, guys. So kind of makes you wonder. You know, it just makes you wonder. The torture. The torment. It's like a scary movie. Speaking of movies, one of the victims I had vision quests. Mentioned to me that there's a movie that pretty much describes vision quest. And the name of that movie is called Sleepers. And if you look at that movie in comparison to everything that's been noted about Vision Quest and Glenn Mills and other boys' homes that have shut down for the same issues of child abuse, but they're all for, you know, these kids not being abused and taking them out of their homes because they feel like their parents are abusing them. And people sometimes call and make up stories and, you know, for the kids that are truly being abused is one thing, but kids that are being well kept and they're just making up stories, you know, they got the fake call-ins where they actually can seize your child and take them into custody. And now the next thing you know, the kid's sold off to a program thanks to the judicial system. Because those two judges that were taking bribes out of Philadelphia, they made it look really bad for the judicial system. They made it what it's always been, except they showed you what it really is. It's a play to pay system. And you know, I'm kind of getting the feeling that it just wasn't those two judges that got caught up. I'm never going to be biased, guys. I'm always going to tell you guys the truth. You know, to me, it sounds like there was a judge involved. A black judge that was a part of this pay-to-play system. And that judge, in my opinion, had to be a whistleblower. He successfully has retired and he's collecting his pension. Because you don't just get two judges all of a sudden, somebody, you know, within the facility said, okay, the judge is not sending us any more kids. He's sending them to another organization. No, that never happened. The judges were actually sending these kids to where they knew they could make a buck. You know, guys, my phone is ringing off the hook. I got a text message that says, I was sent to Vision Quest and the only judge of color that I can remember is Judge Reynolds. Guys, that's not my words. That's from a victim from Vision Quest. Okay? So thank you for that message to the anonymous victim that sent it. Because it kind of sounds to me like somebody was a whistleblower. Because they were too afraid to be, you know, caught up in this scandal of slavery in the 1980s. So when we hear about Connie Munson, who was a Vision Quest victim, she died at the age of 14, August 1st, 1980. Died during an escape attempt. By the way, There's a surviving Vision Quest grown adult male that says there were several kids that tried to escape and they never ever saw them again. That's really weird. You guys can agree with me. Really, really weird. How do you try or make an attempt to escape and you die during the process? What did they do to you that was so harsh that you died in the process of running away? Makes you kind of wonder. And then you have all of these babies, 18 of them to be exact, that died out at sea. And you mean to tell me no one was arrested for it? Were they trying to be immigrants and escape via the ocean? You know, usually immigrants swim to sea, like wherever they can go. If they're on a boat, we can make it there. We're almost there, you know, in case the boat gets, you know, caught in the middle somewhere of another police boat that says, hey, wait a minute, seems like we got some illegals here. So were they in that form of mind to think maybe, you know, I could swim to wherever I need to get to be free? Guys, I'm just shedding a lot of light on things that happened there. You know, people were thinking that these kids were crazy. Thank you, victim, for sending me that message. Because there's a lot I still don't know about Vision Quest. And that message was, when you go out to sea, it's called Ocean Quest. And when you go out to the land, it's called Wilderness Quest. So there's a lot that happens in this Vision Quest program that a lot of people, unless you were there, and listen, these victims have proof they were there. They had pictures that they sent home to say, hey, look at me with my teepee. You know, look at what I'm doing. So people have proof. They have scars, like real scars. You know, and I'm not sure if someone can answer this question for me, but what was the educational component? Like, did you guys or girls, did you get any education while you were at Vision Quest? Were they educating you? Or were they just like keeping you out in the wilderness and the ocean? Like, what really happened there? You know, I'll keep sharing information until they respond. Because I have lots of information. You guys can hear the paper shuffling. There's lots of information. You know, they had children who were dying from overdoses of drugs in 2009 in Vision Quest. Now, how do these children get drugs? Like, who's giving them drugs? Oh, okay. Teachers live on site all day at Vision Quest. So I'm under the impression that they were educating you all day long. And were they educating you to the point of, I'm going to teach you how to start a fire and build a teepee? Just out of curiosity. Like, how are you being educated? You know? School all week, all summer, for about 5 to 7 hours a day. School all week, all summer. So, coming out of Vision Quest, I would be under the assumption that these are kids that actually went to Ivy League colleges because being educated all week, all summer, 5 to 7 hours of the day. These kids should be mathematical scientists, geniuses. That's what I would be thinking if you're being educated all week, all summer, 5 to 7 hours of the day. Guys, let's take a quick break. I'll be right back.
Are you looking forward to sell your house in Philadelphia at a fair price, but are just not patient enough to go through the long, delirious process of enlisting your house in the market? Well, look no further, because GBuys Philly has got your back. You can sell house in Philadelphia without going through the trouble of navigating complex sales procedures. We specialize in helping property owners just like yourself in all sorts of burdensome situations. We pay a fair cash price and save you all the stress and inconveniences of damages or repairs. We will buy your home fast, easy, and convenient. No commission to realtors, no home inspections. Cash deal equals no mortgages. Property as is, no repairs. 100% fair offer guarantee. Sell your house fast for cash in Philadelphia. So what are you waiting for? Just contact us now at www.gbuysphilly.com. Experience, honesty, and integrity guaranteed. Remember, GBuys Philly.
Looking for a holistic approach to a healthy new lifestyle? Akir CMOS is the vitamin-rich solution you need with 92% of the nutrients our body needs. What does CMOS do? Promotes natural weight loss, helps build body muscle, builds a healthier immune system, helps allergies. Consuming CMOS when you're sick is a win, but consuming when you're healthy is a win-win. Visit AkirCMOS.com today and begin your journey to a healthier lifestyle.
Hey guys, welcome back. I see these lines are buzzing. Seems like I got somebody's attention, guys. I got a lot of people's attention, by the way, which is very interesting. So, back to the people that breached their trust. You know, it's very sad. When you see a lot of young children committing crimes today, and I get to see a lot of this due to my profession, and it's a very sad situation because you're looking at this kid and I say to myself, you've never even seen the world yet. You've never even traveled outside of your 200 meter of your location. You have seen nothing. You haven't experienced anything. You don't even have a passport to say, I've been here. I've seen other countries. The youth is missing out on so much of their lives because you have these places such as Vision Quest that has stole the childhood of so many others. This facility, these type of facilities, are no longer available. You know, Glenn Mills, for instance, they're doing now, you know, renting it out as an event hall. How dare you rent space knowing that this was a space that a child died in, was raped in, mutilated in? How could you possibly, the founders, have the audacity to disgrace these children in that manner? Because the state said, we've busted the judges because of our whistleblower that's now collecting his pension, and now we're going to shut you down because they had to know. You had politicians speaking out and saying the child abuse needs to stop. Your staff is not properly trained to control these adults, but they still let it go on. So kind of makes you wonder, does somebody have a blind eye, deaf ear. You didn't see or hear anything to open your mouth. It kind of makes you wonder about the kids that were sold. Kids that were sold for truancy. You get caught by the, I can't even say truancy officer, because they were more like slave catchers to me. Because a lot of the victims in Vision Quest told me that it was predominantly Black. Yeah. Yeah. This is what it was, guys. And everyone wants to deflect. Oh, no, that wasn't it. Because I don't like to play the race card, you know. But this is what it was. They were stalking children. And all they have to say for the people that took an oath that breached the public trust, all they had to say was their cruel and despicable actions victimized the vulnerable population of young people who were already suffering. They were already suffering, guys. So you're going to take a kid that's babies, because 12 and 13, even down to 8 years old, that's disgusting. That's a baby. 8 years old? 8 years old? Come on, you know, people have eight-year-old kids out here today. They're still leaving stains in their underpants. Are you kidding me? So you're taking eight-year-old kids who have to walk to school by themselves, maybe running a little late, and you're going to pick them up and throw them in the slammer. All because the judges needed to collect their 100 million dollars. You know, when people, and I mean normal people, get caught up with the IRS. You know, they get in trouble for not paying their taxes on monies received that they didn't claim. Very interesting. And I know there's a lot of listeners, so maybe this will wake someone up, because I'm going to shake the table. A judge to make all of these millions of dollars who never filed it on their 1040s, Section B, as other income. Why didn't the IRS get involved? It makes you kind of wonder, you know? Because usually when you don't pay the IRS, they start tagging liens on everything you own, down to your underwear. So, you know, it's been said that, yeah, they got prison time. They were sentenced, right? In this pay-to-play system, cash for kids, or better known as kids for cash. I didn't say it. The judicial system said it. So I'm just being a parakeet right now. So it kind of shocks me that with all these millions of dollars in bribes, I don't understand how the IRS did not put a lien on each and every item that these judges owned. Because they obviously owned homes. They owned homes. Their restitution was not even comparable to, you know, what they did. Because if you have hundreds and hundreds and thousands of victims. $200 million is like settling for pennies on the dollars. So they didn't receive much for being victims. So the victims need to stand up and take another look at this whole big thing. It's not about the money. It's about the pain and suffering. You know, every lawsuit has a dollar amount, and it's called pain and suffering. And the pain and suffering, the trauma that you've had to endure now, probably for 30, 40 years now, you should be compensated for it, really. Because you've had to work on yourself by yourself with no help from anybody. And you've had to figure things out because you were too ashamed to say, this is what an adult did to me. Guys, and by the way, men have a complex about being touched in certain ways. You know, guys that are really guys, not guys that have of that alternative lifestyle, they may feel a little different. But guys that feel like, hey, I'm being violated, kind of takes you for a loop as a guy. You know, and then sometimes these guys turn into an alternative lifestyle because at a young age, doing that to an 8-year-old boy, they may grow up to think this is the way things are supposed to be. You know, so we don't know what these victims, a lot of them, have turned into after the abuse was handed down. And you know, the judge was sentenced, him and his bud was sentenced, got out early, both are out early, house arrest. How do you let a Kids for Cash player out of jail early due to the pandemic? I've never heard of that. So it seems like whoever handed down the sentence was very lenient because, you know, when you put in for a motion to leave early, you know, and we're not talking about just the judge saying, okay, this is your sentence. No, these were jury trials. You know, they were caught up under the RICO Act. Because it involved more than three players that involved money, racketeering, conspiracy, extortion. You can't imagine. I know certain cases right now, people got caught up in the RICO Act, these drug dealers, these gang members, and they got 2 and 3 life sentences. And there's no chance of appeal that they're going to win. But these guys get out on house arrest from being sentenced under the RICO Act? That seems a little odd. It seems like someone is still being the button pusher and making the decision on who gets to stay and who gets to go. And that's not fair. And I know the judicial system is not fair to all, but for this situation, it's definitely not fair. Because who gives them the right to get out when they gained so much money from destroying other kids' lives? Who gives them the right? Just when you feel like the law is on your side and you feel like they're going to protect you, and then you end up with hearing these judges who destroyed not only your life, but a lot of other lives, that basically you spend 2 years in and you get house arrest for the remainder of your 20-year stay. You're on house arrest, Judge? That's a little backwards. That's a lot of backwards. And guys, you know, next week we got a lot to talk about. Next week we have to talk about these children that are getting murdered. I was requested to chime in on an article with the newspaper out of Philadelphia. Don't know if I'm actually going to do it as of yet, but in my eyes, if you want to catch a crook that has done a murder or other things, they could really catch a crook if they were actually looking to catch a crook. But from the looks of it, they're not trying to solve any cases. They're not, listen, one or two, yeah, let's clean it up. Let's make it look good. You know, and I'm asked to come in as a professional to say what avenues they should be taking to catch a killer. You got last night a 13-year-old young boy that was shot in the head, overkill. For whatever his reasons were, he's 13 years old. The kid is still probably wetting the bed at 13. And your 13-year-old is out in the streets at that hour. Kind of makes you wonder, is this a DHS Kua baby? You got to wonder, guys. Got to wonder. As a matter of fact, it takes some looking into to see what was the family life like. Because I'm waiting to see a parent want justice for this 13-year-old that was murdered. They have to want justice. They have to want to make some noise. See, what I notice about the judicial system, and a lot of other people notice it too, if it does not affect them, they're not interested in what happens to you. You have the gentleman who owns Purdue, that daughter of his got caught up on opioids in Newark, New Jersey, oxycodone, oxycontin. And guess what happened? She's in the hood, guys, and she's doing things that she should not be doing if you could read between the lines. And guess what? Mr. Purdue makes so much noise, he starts getting these doctors who's prescribing these opioids indicted, arrested. You're in medical school for 20 years of your life, and you just lost your license because Mr. Purdue made noise. Okay? He made noise. Before his daughter was drug addicted in the hood of Newark, New Jersey on 21st Street, guys. Okay? Video surfacing. Look at Mr. Purdue's daughter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. Guys are posting what she's doing. It got back to Mr. Purdue, you know, the Purdue Chicken Company. No secret. He made noise. He made so much noise that they started indicting the doctors. You want to prescribe opioids? I don't care if it didn't go to my daughter. I don't care if you didn't write her prescription. You're going to jail anyway. This is the type of noise these parents need to make to get justice. Because Mr. Purdue shut down the whole entire opioid factory. He shut it down from a legal standpoint where now they're making them at home. They're buying the molds. They're putting rat poison in it. They're making it look like this drug and it's not. People are ODing and dying everywhere. It's time to wake up, America. Tommy Torres is going to bring it to you straight. Guys, it's so good to have you on. 15.9 million listeners from the East Coast to the West Coast. So glad you guys are joining me tonight. It's been such a great pleasure. I will see you guys next week, Tuesday. Literally, we got some things to talk about. Same bat time, same. Bye, guys.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.